My guest at this time is Patrick J. Buchanan, three-time presidential candidate, served in three Republican presidential administrations, and is the author of several books. The brand new one is Suicide of a Superpower, Will America Survive to 2025? This is the third installment of that conversation. The first part dealt with America's crushing debt. The second part dealt with America's increasing detachment from our Christian roots. And the third part will deal with America's changing demographics and why he believes that the declining numbers of white Americans suggest trouble is ahead for our great nation. On to the demographic numbers now, and I'm guessing you might have gotten a little bit of blowback on this, but the issue that you raise on the declining white population, you mentioned it before, with lower birth rates, that's becoming more self-centered rather than child-centered. The population of the country continues to grow, but obviously those coming into the country, particularly Hispanics, if you look at the last census, becoming a larger percentage of the population. Some may look at that and say, Pat, we've always been a nation of immigrants, and so why does it matter so much what the demographic breakdown looks like? What do you tell them?
Well, I would say first, we have not been always been a nation of immigrants for our first 250 years up until about 1845. We were not a nation of immigrants. We were a nation of settlers from the British Isles. We did have an immense Irish immigration of 4 million then, and from 1890 to 1920. A large immigration from Eastern Europe and Southern Europe, no doubt about it. And what made that work was a number of things. First, all those folks coming in, except for the Jewish folks, were Christians. All of those folks coming in were Europeans, European peoples. And still, it was very, very difficult to assimilate them all, and we succeeded, I would say, by the time we got to 1950. We succeeded, or 1960, we succeeded because we had a melting pot. All those little kids were put into public and parochial schools. They were taught English. They were taught Christian morality, Judeo-Christian morality. They were taught American history. They were taught America was the greatest and best country on earth, and they should love it, and they should defend it. And all of these things in the culture sort of melded all these people who were immigrants, second and third generation. So by the time we got to 1960, we are all Americans. I mean, I'm an Irishman, I'm Scotch-Irish, I'm German, but I'm not at home in Germany. I'm an American. So that's what it was accomplished. And what we're doing now is we're bringing in people from cultures and creeds and countries who have never been assimilated into any Western society. At the same time, we have abandoned the melting pot for multiculturalism. In other words, you tell people, you come here, you be yourselves, you keep your language, keep your cultures, keep your traditions, keep your allegiances, get yourself a dual passport, a dual citizenship. And how do you become one country then? And the numbers coming are enormous. And as I say, they're coming from places where it's going to be enormously difficult to assimilate these folks and where the process of assimilation has been abandoned. And so that's, again, see, I see, Greg, I see the problems of the country. Nobody can beat the United States, I mean, in war, and as long as we don't go around trying to create nations or build democracies where they never existed. And they're not going to defeat the United States. They're not going to invade the United States militarily. But I do see the possibility that the country can really just disintegrate and break apart as one people, so that we become like, you know, Yugoslavia, which contained basically nine tiny nations, all of them resisting each other and struggling against the authoritarian regime, so that when the authoritarian regime fell, the whole place came apart. Soviet Union the same way.
You also call in your solution section for an immigration moratorium until I believe the unemployment rate is down to 6%, so that could change that demographic a little bit. But as you look at the existing populations in the country, is there any sense that the current trends are going to change? Do you expect European descendants to start having more children? Is that your answer for that?
I'll tell you, I think, and again, this is where I get to the point where it's pretty close to inevitable. I really am fearful. See, there's a chapter in there that I don't know if you got into it. It's 18,000 words. It was called ethno-nationalism, and it was changed to the triumph of tribalism. And the point of it is, and I go to country after country after country after country, and inside each one, the ethnic divide or the racial divide or the religious divide is tearing it apart. And people want nation states of their own, with their own kind rule. They have their own culture, their own religion, and everybody else can get out or you're second-class citizens. This is the driving force. Moynihan predicted it would be. Others predicted it would be, Arthur Schlesinger, that this would be the driving force at the end of the Cold War. And the battle would not be between democracy and authoritarianism, but that democracy would enable these tremendous forces to go at each other. And I'll tell you, Craig, you go around in South Africa, of course, they're trying to take away all the farms and the mines that belong to the whites, and in Rhodesia. But in other places like Kenya, it is the Kikuyu tribe versus the Maasai versus the Luo. Ethiopia splits in half with Eritrea. Southern Sudan, which is black and animist and Christian, breaks away from the northern Arab and Muslim population. All these things are occurring, and these are the forces I think they're going to determine the future of mankind. And I think we're inviting ourselves a peck of trouble.
Last question before we let you go, Pat. As you mentioned, it's a very daunting task here over before we get to 2025. How significant is the 2012 election cycle in that process?
I think if we're talking the economics and budget, and we're talking the solvency of the United States and avoidance of a general default, I think the 2012 election is really critical. And while I don't dislike Obama, I think he's a good man. I think he's a nice man. He's got a good sense of humor. He's got a beautiful little family. But the man is not a leader. He's not a president. He's not what we need, and his ideas are wrong. And so I think that, and I hope that he's replaced. And I hope we got a Republican in there who's willing to say, look, they may curse me, but I'm going to straighten this place out.
Is there one you see in the field that'll do that?
I'm hoping. What do you think, Greg?
Very diplomatic on your part, Pat. We'll leave it there. Thanks so much for your time today.
Well, thank you, and you take it easy. Right.
Thank you so much. Pat Buchanan is author of Suicide of a Superpower, Will America Survive to 2025? He's a three-time presidential candidate, has worked in three Republican administrations, currently a contributor also to MSNBC. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.